From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo and US ABC delegation discuss trade and investment. Indonesia and Luxembourg explore information and communication technologies, ICT, and Syariah finance. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a visit from delegates of the United States Asian Business Council, or USABC, at the Presidential's Palace in Bogor, West Java on Thursday, to discuss trade and investment cooperation between Indonesia and United States. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, who accompanied the President during the meeting, said that the USABC congratulated Indonesia for successfully holding the G20 presidency last year and now chairing ASEAN. According to Minister Sri, they also supported President Jokowi's policy priority of improving the ecosystem of the electric vehicle industry, as Indonesia has enormous resources in this area. Indonesia also stated its commitment to carrying out economic transformation in terms of energy sustainability. Indonesia and Luxembourg are exploring the possibility of developing cooperation in information technology and Syariah finance. This was revealed in a bilateral meeting between Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Minister of Foreign Affairs of Luxembourg, Jean Asselborn, on Thursday at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs building in Jakarta. Minister Retno, after the meeting, said that in the economic field, Indonesia welcomed the increase in Luxembourg's investment in Indonesia, which reached 732% in the first quarter of 2023. In addition, there has also been an increase in trade value of 15% between Indonesia and Luxembourg in the last 5 years.
We explore further possibilities of cooperating with Luxembourg in building ICT infrastructure and the exchange of expertise and sharing best practices in the field of Syariah finance.
Another area which was also discussed at the bilateral meeting between Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Minister of Foreign Affairs of Luxembourg, Jean Asselborn, was cooperation in the fields of transportation and logistics. On the same day, the Minister of Asselborn and the Minister of Transportation, Budi Karya Sumadi, signed a memorandum of understanding regarding the air service agreement. This agreement is expected to encourage connectivity and facilitate business opportunities, especially in the cargo sector. The two ministers also discussed cooperation in the health sector. Retno Marsudi explained that investment cooperation in the health sector is now more important than before. Luxembourg invests in building production facilities, medical refrigerators in Depok, which has been operating since October last year. The Indonesian government will participate in the 111th session of the International Labour Conference ILC from June 5th to 16, 2023 in Geneva, Switzerland. The ILC is an annual conference that establishes and adopts international labor standards and is a forum for discussing key social and labor questions. Indonesian Minister of Manpower Ida Fauzia said in Jakarta on Thursday at the 111th ILC session, five major committees will discuss issues related to manpower. She pointed out that there will be several important considerations within the executions of the ILC session, namely the women's participation rate in delegation. Let's move on to the international news, where Bandar Al-Khorayef, Saudi Arabia's Minister of Industry and Mineral Resources, signed a letter of intent with Kemi Badenoch, the UK Secretary of State for Business and Trade, to enhance cooperation in the field of critical minerals. Saudi press agency reported the two sides seek to commit to the joint development of supply chain of minerals essentials to the worldwide transition to zero carbon neutrality. Al-Khorayef said that the step comes within the framework of boosting bilateral relations between Saudi Arabia and the UK in the industrial and mining sectors and contributes to supporting global efforts to realize a green future. Japan and the United States are expected to issue a joint statement on semiconductor and advanced technology cooperation on Friday, the Yomiuri Daily newspaper reported. The development is the latest signs of efforts by the U.S. to woo its allies to join it in countering China in the areas of key technologies. The newspaper said the statement would include a joint Japan-U.S. roadmap for the development of next-generation semiconductor, as well as plans on cooperating on artificial intelligence and quantum technology. The United States has declined to sell its F-35 stealth fighter jets to Thailand over issues with training and technical requirements, the Southeast Asian country's Air Force said on Thursday. Thailand, which was designated as a major non-NATO ally by the United States in 2003, had last year set aside a 13.8 billion baht, or $407.68 million, budget for new jets to replace its aging, mostly U.S.-made F-5 and F-16 fighters. Air Force spokesperson Air Chief Marshal Prapas Soronchaide said in a statement, it identified up to 8 Lockheed Martin LMT-N F-35A jets as its target, but sale of the fifth-generation fighters was subject to conditions that included time constraint, technical requirements, and maintenance compatibility, and the United States was therefore unable to offer the sale. South Korea successfully launched its homegrown rocket, Nuri, with the Antarctic King Sejong Station, confirming communication with the main satellite. The Ministry of Science and ICT and the Korea Aerospace Research Institute, KARI, announced that the rocket lifted off from the Naro Space Center in Guhong, South Jeolla Province at 6:24 p.m. on Thursday as scheduled. The government has confirmed the successful deployment of 7 of the 8 satellites on board, including the next-generation small satellite number 2, which established communication with South Korea's Antarctic King Sejong stations as planned. Efforts are underway to confirm the deployment of the last satellite. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on access to humanitarian aid for ethnic Rakhine, Myanmar, is blocked. The Rohingyas refugees in Rakhine, who were victims of Cyclone Mocha on May 14, 2023, are trying to survive amidst a difficult situation. Cyclone Mocha, which hit on May the 14th, has caused hundreds of people to live in houses without a roof. Myanmar's military junta has informed that the death toll from Typhoon Mocha or Cyclone Mocha was 148 people, mostly from the Rohingyas minority living in western Rakhine state. About 90% of Rohingyas' homes there were destroyed, and at least 100 Rohingya people in Sitwe are thought to have been killed when the cyclone of more than 150 miles per hour hit the area. Until now, they have not received assistance from other countries and international humanitarian agencies. Some humanitarian agencies have been trying to find ways to channel aid to victims so they can survive in a difficult situation, but this assistance is still far from sufficient. There is still a lot of aid from international community that is ready to be distributed to affected areas, but is still waiting for permission from the Myanmar military junta. So far, the Myanmar military junta had not yet given access to humanitarian organizations from other countries and international institutions. The United Nations agency reported that the Myanmar junta government had refused entry to humanitarian workers who would be distributing humanitarian aid to ethnic Rohingya refugees who were victims of Cyclone Moka. The humanitarian community in Myanmar has called for urgent assistance for vulnerable people in the typhoon's or cyclone's highest impact zone. Humanitarian workers are in race against time to provide safe shelter to people in all affected communities and prevent the spread of waterborne diseases. The UN on Wednesday, May the 24th, called on Myanmar to open up and ensure life-saving aid can reach parts of the country hit by Cyclone Moka. Meanwhile, the Indonesian government, together with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, and the Emergency Response and Assessment Team, or IRAT, have been conducting an assessment since the third day after the Moka cyclone disaster in Myanmar. Acting head of Center for Data Information and Disaster Communication of the Indonesian National Disaster Management Agency, ASEAN Center for Humanitarian Assistance on Disaster Management, or AHA Center, which consists of from 14 countries agency, including from Indonesia and several other ASEAN countries. Until now, emergency mitigation is still carried out by local authorities, such as in Sitwe, Ponagiun, and Kiak Tau areas. The action of Myanmar military junta blocking the access of local and international humanitarian organizations to the areas affected by Moka are very unfortunate. Whatever the motives or reasons behind the military junta's actions, humanitarian reasons should be the main consideration. The Myanmar military junta must fulfill their basic obligations to ensure the safety and security of all communities, including the Rohingya community, without discrimination. UN agencies and non-governmental partners must be provided prompt and safe access to all communities affected by Cyclone Moka. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Oh,
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12. Then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Today in history begins with May the 26th, 1972. The United States and the Soviet Union signed the SALT Strategic Arms Limitation Agreement. The United States and the Soviet Union entered into negotiations regarding strategic arms limitations, or the Strategic Arms Limitation Talk, or SALT. Negotiations began in 1969, resulting in the SALT I Agreement. It was signed by the President of the United States, Richard Nixon, and Secretary General of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, Leonid Brezhnev, on May 26, 1972. First, SALT limited the number of strategic ballistic missiles launchers at existing levels, but allowed the addition of new submarine-launched ballistic missile launchers, or SLBMs. Turning to May 26, 2005, Indonesian economist Radius Prawiro died. Radius Prawiro is the former Minister of Finance of the Republic of Indonesia. He is also an Indonesian economist and politician. Radius Prawiro became one of the founders of the Indonesian economy during the reign of President Soeharto. Various important positions in the financial economy sector have been held by Radius Prawiro, among others, high-ranking official of the Audit Board of the Republic of Indonesia, Minister of Finance, Governor of Bank Indonesia. While serving as Governor of Bank Indonesia, he also held concurrent position as Governor of the International Monetary Fund and Deputy Governor of the Asian Development Bank for Indonesia from 1967 to 1971. Radius Prawiro died on May 26, 2005 in Munich, Germany, at the age of 76 due to heart disease. Radius Prawiro's body was then returned to Indonesia on May 31st and buried at the Kalibata Hero Cemetery. Today in history ends with May 26, 2006, Berlin Central Station was opened. Berlin Hauptbahnhof is the local point of the German rail network. This station is also known as Berlin Central Station. This magnificent station was built on the site of the former old German station, namely the Rechter Bahnhof Station, which was destroyed during World War II. It took 11 years to build the new station, which was reopened on May 26, 2006. The station features a large multi-level structure with the length of the conservatory reaches 331 meters. The construction of the Berlin Central Station cost over 700 million euros. That was Today in History.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government prevented more than 200,000 tons of plastic waste that may pollute the ocean during 2018 to 2022 by reducing reusing and recycling the plastic waste. This was stated by Director of Pollution Control and Damage to Coastal and Marine Affairs at the Environment and Forestry Ministry, Dasril Chaniago, at the ASEAN Regional Workshop on Preventing Plastic Waste Pollution in Sanur Denpasar, Bali on Monday. Quoted by Antara, Dasril said that hundreds of thousands of tons of plastic waste were collected through garbage banks. In addition, the company recycles plastic waste. Even though member countries have been active in overcoming plastic waste in the ocean, the Indonesian Environment and Forestry Ministry still invited all ASEAN countries to accelerate control of plastic waste on land. According to Dasril, plastic waste in the ocean has become a serious problem for the environment and has negative impacts not only environmentally but also socially and economically for sustainable development. Through the workshop held in cooperation with ASEAN and the German Institute for International Cooperation, GIZ, Indonesia hopes that member countries can develop regional steps and interventions to strengthen the ASEAN Regional Action Plan for 2021-2025 regarding handling plastic waste at sea. Indonesia, according to him, has a run for marine plastic waste in 2017 to 2025, one of which is through the 3R efforts directly from sources of land-based waste. Dasril also invited the public to use less plastic and styrofoam, which are often used to contain food. Meanwhile, Deputy Secretary General of ASEAN for Sociocultural, Ekapa Pantafong, also assessed that handling plastic waste at sea is an urgent need and requires joint efforts to deal with the crisis through the ASEAN Regional Action Plan. According to Pantafong, the implementation of the ASEAN RAP requires coordinated efforts. That's my Indonesia.
Bila suasana di hatimu membuat resah tak menentu, katakanlah oh kasih, bukalah hatimu, janganlah kau ragu.
Mendekatlah padaku, letakkan tanganmu di dadaku, rasakanlah oh kasih, getaran cinta yang ada di hatiku.
Semua itu karena dirimu, semua untukmu, tulusnya cinta yang ada di hatiku selama ini hanyalah untukmu. Letakkan tanganmu di dadaku,
rasakanlah oh kasih, getaran cinta yang ada di hatiku.
Semua itu karena dirimu, semua untukmu, tulusnya cinta yang ada di hatiku selama ini hanyalah untukmu.
Kau lah seluruh hidupku, sungguh
sayang kamu.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Solempat is a plant that resembles taro, although its leaves are softer. This plant grows between riverbanks and usually mingles with shrubs. This plant is often used as a decoration. If you consume it, it has a sweet and savory taste with bitter aftertaste. In Pandeglang, West Java, the plant is processed as a local cuisine. They process the solempat into pais or pepes solempat. To cook pais solempat, it is customary to use the stems of the solempat. Before it is cooked into pais, the branches of solempat need to be cleaned from their sap with water. Next, the stem of solempat are cut into small pieces and then mixed with rice, shallots, red chili, cayenne pepper, salt, and other seasoning. To prevent the dough from sticking, a chicken egg is usually added. The dough is then stirred thoroughly before bay leaves and lemongrass are added to give a fragrant flavor to the dough. Furthermore, the dough is wrapped in banana leaves before it is steamed. In addition, solempat dough is also usually added with gizzards or tofu, which depends on preference. When you eat it, pais tastes savory, chewy, fragrant, and filling. The spiciness of the steamed chili peppers intensify the flavors. Solempat tastes even more heavenly, especially when it is enjoyed with another dish, namely red melinjo skin. Or in the Sundanese language or Pandeglang, call it cangkang tangkil. Pais solempat is not just delicious, but also nutritious. Solempat is known to have numerous benefits, including maintaining blood sugar levels, preventing heart disease, and helping to maintain the ideal body weight. So if you are interested in enjoying this cuisine, you can easily find it in the restaurants in Pandeglang. The price is from 5,000 rupiah to 10,000 rupiah.
Berjalan di gelap malam, langkahku pun tertatih. Telah membeku hatiku ini, rasanya kau takkan
tahu. Untuk sejenak ini ku akhiri, namun rasa cinta tak ingin berlalu. Cuma kamu yang mampu sembuhkan hati yang terluka. Aku yang terluka karena kamu. Ku berharap kau sadari betapa sakitnya aku karena kamu, karena kamu. Cinta matiku. Bagaimanakah kisah cinta kita? Terasa sedih, ingin ku tangisi. Dan
still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Miscellany for today highlights 7 Indonesian youth in the Forbes 30 Under 30 Asia 2023 list. Listeners, Forbes has just released a list of the world's young entrepreneurs, businessmen, and professionals who are in the age category at 30 years in 2023. Seven of them came from Indonesia. Based on the Forbes 30 Under 30 Asia list, the seven young Indonesians come from five different fields, ranging from food, retail to manufacturing. Besides Indonesians, the Forbes 30 Under 30 Asia 2023 category for the retail industry is dominated by young Indian entrepreneurs. The rest, this list is filled by young talents from Japan, Malaysia, China, Hong Kong, and from several other countries. First, there is the name Eko Pujianto, 29 years old, the CEO of PT Sari Kreasi Boga TBK or SKB Food. Then there is also Felix Saputra, 28 years old, who is currently listed as the co-founder of Satu Dental. There is also Tiffany Daniel, 27 years old, the CEO founder of Rose All Day Cosmetics, a local cosmetic brand that is also loved by many millennial women. Then there are Clara Karina Lukito, 29 years old, and Claudia Sastra, 28 years old. The two of them collaborate and are listed as Little Joy's co-founders. Other names are Clinton Augusto Kartawijaya, 27 years old, and Sally Farsley, 27 years old. The two also do a duet and are listed as the co-founders of Muscle First. All names on this list were selected by a jury led by RB Capital founder and CEO Kisin RK and Lan Kwai Fong Group founder and chairman Alan Zeman. The 2023 list features a wide variety of 30 under 30 honorees with 20 countries and territories represented across the Asia-Pacific region. India leads the region with the highest number of honorees with 75 on this year's list, followed by China with 34. Japan is third with 33 awardees, while Singapore has 30. South Korea is in fifth place with 28 awardees. That's miscellany.
Setiap waktu, setiap malam, hatiku tenang jika mengingatmu, oh sayangku. Ku butuh kamu. Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from East Nusa Tenggara entitled Ele Moto Pala Liru. The song narrates advice for the community of Sabu Island. Even though they are wandering anywhere, they should not forget their own town, because over there they were grown up and also the place where they began their life. In addition, they should not be influenced by other regional cultures, which will have a bad influence on their life. This means that they have to hold fast to the tradition or culture that they have possessed so that the culture does not disappear. Here is the regional song from East Nusa Tenggara entitled Ele Moto Para Liru.
Thank you.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.